expenses coming in over the next little while. George and Lynch people have to push some dirt now that they can finally get in the back here to create a clean-looking construction zone instead of sloppy construction zone that we've lived with all winter.
Looks nice.
We'll have some more landscaping to do. But by and large, we are sort of in maintenance mode, and we still have $400,000 in the bank. After those expenses, we'll probably have $300,000 in the bank, or a little less. But the board meeting that we held just before this board meeting for the foundation, we authorized two scholarships, one for a male senior, one for a female senior. Last year's gifts, scholarships were $1,200. This year they will be $1,500. The way we raise money, we don't take money out of the Sussex Academy Foundation checking account. We all contribute, much like we're doing here with this board. So everybody will be contributing to those awards, $250, to support those scholarships that we will hand out at the awards dinner or dessert. And what else is new? We approved the expenditure up to $40,000 this month for the engineering study that we are be doing for the 10-year maintenance projection of all of our capital expenditures. Up to $40,000 was approved. If it's any more than that, talk to us. But if it's less than that, you get brownie points.
Can we keep it?
No. It never hurts.
He said no.
I heard him.
Steve Burke will be joining the foundation board to take Denise's place. So we'll continue to have two members of this board on the foundation board. And he's happy to do it when he's here. But as many of you know, he's not here tonight because he's picked up new responsibilities at his day job. And he's going to be trapped anymore, so he may not be as attentive to all of our board functions, whether it's this board or the foundation. But I understood that, but I think he was the right guy to add to our board.
He's in Frankfurt.
And I think that's all that I want to tell you. Yeah. I will have other thing in the executive session that we want to bring up to the executive session before. So remind me if I forget.
Do we want to talk about Derby Day at all? Does anyone know anything?
Yeah. The only thing I know is that Eric Anderson will be joining us for Derby Day. Be a good opportunity. I'm sure there'll be people there that want to meet him.
May 5th. Come on, come all. It's the last one.
Mm-hmm. It's always fun. It's a really fun event.
Mm-hmm. It's really
it is a fun event.
It really is.
Very different from the gala. Very different.
Yeah. Right?
It's short. It's nice and short, too. It's like a good, you know.
Is the cookie guy going to be there again?
No, he's in Australia.
Oh, no.
He's enjoying his
cookie. Are we going to make sure that you can actually watch the Derby instead of...
I know.
Who needs that? Who needs the Derby?
Mitchell. We were just joking because remember we had technical difficulties last
year. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right when it started, TVs went away.
I know that it's also since it's Cinco de Mayo, they're going to add a little bit of like Mexican food and maybe a margarita station.
I am so there. Good.
I keep that in mind.
All right. So thank you to those committee. You were done, right, Joe?
Yes.
Thank you for those committees who submitted a report. No one has alerted me to any issue that needs to be discussed other than buildings and grounds.
Would we want to report on the executive committee? Then?
That's what I'm...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
So we had an executive committee meeting earlier today, and Buildings and Grounds Lance came to that meeting and made a follow-up report to us on suggested measures for the building that we are, as a committee, taking under advisement. We're not going to, for safety, safety of the building. We're not going to report on those in detail today, just to let you know that that is still in the works, and we are looking at several options for making the building safer. And then there was one issue that does need to be brought before the board today. Joe, would you like to discuss that one? Or do we want Lance to do it?
I think Lance should do it.
Lance? It's the application that needs to be made by May 24th if we're going to make it.
Yeah, so we talked about bringing on the possibility of a constable to the school that would be essentially a resource officer that would be here during the day, from the start to the finish of the day. They would be essentially a security personnel that's an employee of Sussex Academy. And in order to apply for the registration of a constable, the application has to be, is due to the state by May 24th.
Could you explain the difference between the SRO and the constable?
Actually, can I just back up one step? I'm sorry.
Sure.
I want to just give a little bit, if you don't mind, just 2 seconds of background. So at our last board meeting, we started having conversations about, from a buildings and grounds standpoint, what we needed to do to the physical plant to kind of shore up our building. And then we asked Lance to go do further research. And so to the point of coming up with a consolidated plan for how we want to move forward with the idea of making our environment safer, that's kind of the background.
That's good. That's
sorry,
great.
I just wanted to make sure.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah. So, one of those ideas was to have a security personnel on site. So there's essentially two different ways to go about doing that, and other school districts have this implemented already. One is an SRO, which is a school resource officer, and then the other one is a constable. The two major differences are that the SRO is an actual law enforcement agent. So typically a state policeman in uniform would be in the facility. That state trooper has the authority to arrest, just like they would have the authority outside of the school grounds. They have the same authority on school grounds. When they leave the school off of the facility, they have the same arresting capability as a regular state trooper. With a constable, the constable has their authority based, located at the school facility. So they have the authority to, and they're trained to have a sidearm weapon and carry open as well. And they have the authority to detain, but they do not have the authority to arrest. And when they leave the school facilities, they do not have any authority away from the school facilities. So once they leave, they're just a normal citizen with, you know, but on school grounds, they have the ability to detain and to carry as well. With the SRO, they are in full uniform, and in a constable, typically they are in a more subdued uniform per se, with badge and identification and whatnot. But other school districts have implemented this, and I got some stats today on other schools. So currently in Sussex County, Indian River School District has 15 constables. I said 16, and 5 SROs. So they have 5 security resource officers. They have a big school district. I think they have 10,000 kids. And they have about 15 buildings. And I think they have a constable at every single building. And then they have 5 SROs that roam and go to the need as the need is. Cape and Lopin School District total has 1 SRO. And I believe they're at the high school, but then they could go wherever they need to go within the district. Milford has 3 SROs. Seaford has 1 SRO. Laurel has 2 SROs. Del Mar has 1 SRO. So
And none of them have constables?
And none of those have constables.
So Cape District has one SRO?
That's it, yeah.
In the entire district?
Yes, correct.
One SRO for every school in the district?
Yep. Now, the constable program is, from what I have done the research on, is fairly new, and Indian River has been the pioneer in that, and I met with Preston Lewis of Indian River to get the background on how the program was initiated, how it's orchestrated, and they've done a great job of getting that up and running and all the accreditation associated with it. So throughout the state, there's several school districts that are going to be implementing this constable program. He said that he's constantly going and reporting to school boards, you know, presenting to school districts because everybody's interested in doing this program. Several Newcastle County districts, Kent County, and then other ones in Sussex, including Milford and Cape, are probably going to be implementing this program shortly. So typically when you apply for a constable, it is a retired state trooper, retired law enforcement agent. If they, within 5 years of them retiring from their position, they don't need any extra training or any extra certification, it's sort of grandfathered in. Anytime after that, if someone's retired for more than 5 years, then they have to go through some testing and research and whatnot. But when we talked about our situation here, and so to back up a little bit, the SROs too, talking with Jeff Hudson, who's an SRO at Ener, he said most of his time is dealing with criminal activity and issues relating to fights and drugs and different things associated with criminal activity on school grounds, not necessarily just from a security aspect. So they So they go around depending on what the situation is, and here in Auckland, we don't have that like atmosphere, so they felt like, you know, the SRO wouldn't be the route that they would probably recommend, and I sort of feel the same way. I think that if we would, he said that the constable program to the kids and the parents at Indian River love that program, and they say that the kids look to these constables as like grandfatherly type figures, you know, like they're helping them open their milk carton, and you know, they're helping out. They're not like this police figure or this militarization figure walking through the hallways of like, you know, make sure you do it right. You know, they're more of a, you know, fatherly figure. So anyway, the constable, if we decide to go this route, we have to actually apply, put out for a position, get some applicants in, and then apply for this before May 24th. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to implement it this next school year. So the
proposal made in the executive committee was that we would make a motion to approve applying for a constable position pending the availability of funds.
Is that your motion?
That's my motion.
Okay.
Pardon? Oh, it was a one-year pilot. Mm-hmm. Constable, applying for a constable position by May 24th for a one-year pilot pending funding becoming available.
I second the motion. Now, let's discuss. Anyone have comments or anything like that? Questions, concerns. This is a decision, you guys. We need to talk about it if there's things to be said.
So where would the funding come from?
Well, look, first of all, you didn't mention what the expected amount would be, correct?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
We figured it's probably about $42,000 to $44,000.
And that would be all inclusive. That's the right. Hourly pay and
plus the
OECs.
Employment costs.
Oh, okay.
Because there would be no pension to pay for this individual, and that's the bulk of what we pay. I'm going to when you add on to a person's salary. It's an hourly employee.
So the other thing that I would throw in there is that I, you know, I realized that we, making this decision, we're making it for a new director next year. And I did reach out to Eric Anderson and ask him how he felt about it. His school does have one. I don't know if he has a constable or an SRO. I'm not sure which they have. And he has found it helpful. Oh, theirs is supplied because they share a building with Cab Calloway. The state supplies it to them, but he has said that it has been useful to have the officer.
So I think it's important then the caveat in the motion about pending availability of funds has to do with this affords us the opportunity to put forth the application in the timely manner, but we're really not going to concretely know more until that unit count as of May 1st comes in and Alan can kind of do a better projection. So that's why that piece is in there. Because we are kind of restricted to the time frame of the application to
we
the state.
We have to have a name of a person.
That's right.
Correct.
Yeah. To put this in the application.
Yeah.
So we'd have to post the job.
Correct.
You know, and we do have, Indian River was helpful with that in getting us what they use for their job posting for the same position that they've hired 16 of and they've been successful with. So we can piggyback off of that, use that information, tailor it to fit our needs, review it with our legal counsel, whatever we need to do. Mm-hmm. We can post that fairly quickly. And the feedback I got from them was, if we post this position, that we will have multiple applicants very, very quickly because they see that this would be a good job for someone
sure,
to have.
Of course. And that's still, we still have the flexibility. We hope to find the right person,
right.
And most likely from this pool of applicants we would. However, if we didn't, we're not wed to it either.
Correct.
So
And we get to choose, like,
correct.
If we have 10 applicants, which person would work best with us or we feel would be the best fit for our culture, our organization, and not have to be, oh, we want one, and then, okay, here's who you have to use.
Correct.
Now, who does the weeding through process? Like, because if the application has to be submitted May 24th, that means it has to be posted, like, now.
Yeah.
And then someone has to sift through all those applications, extend an invitation, like, do interviews, and then submit the application in, like, 3 weeks.
So I guess we could, you know, if we felt like we needed some, I'm just throwing this out there, I haven't even discussed this with anyone, but if you felt like you needed some assistance with, you know, that part of it, we could put together, you know, a committee of some kind that could, you know, would have the capacity to move quickly to, but I'm just, like I said, I haven't discussed that with anyone.
Probably the best thing is to put it out and then see again on a little bit of an excursion here and see what kind of applicants that you get, see how many you get, and then move forward from that.
I think our first, if we vote to approve it, our first thing, Lance, would be for you to reach out to your guy and say, we've approved it at the board level. You know, do you have anyone?
Yeah.
And see what, you know, not that we would do that in lieu of posting it, but just to kind of get some.
Yeah.
My feeling on, if anyone cares, my feeling on the constable is this, is that I like the idea of having someone who would be, you know, our employee, a member of our staff that we can manage and advise appropriately based on what our needs are. So I see this person like being able to, you know, work during the lunch duties, and so whatever teacher perhaps or staff member who has to do that could possibly be freed up.
Really?
I mean, I just see that we could really creatively utilize this person in a lot of different ways that I think would be helpful to the staff.
And I think that they could be in a proactive measure as well to do proactive things and walks and versus being in like an SRO, like Jeff was saying, like a reactive, like, okay, where do I need to go? What do I need to do? Like, they're not doing, he's not able to do proactive measures of you know, things. I think that we could do that here.
Well, we didn't discuss this today, and depending on the person that was employed and that person's background, as you were sitting here thinking about other ways, mm-hmm. I mean, I thought about from an instructional standpoint. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, in the classroom, and mm-hmm. whether it's in the civics classroom, or we're going to do something about the upcoming prom and mm-hmm. driving and
yep,
blah blah
absolutely.
Blah.
Yeah.
And depending mm-hmm. upon the qualifications or the background of the person, assuming that one that it would be a retired state trooper.
Mm-hmm.
I probably could name 10 state troopers that if they were retired, you could do something with them.
And to mm-hmm. that and to that point, yeah, the Indian River District, their constable, I guess, matrix is demographic is they have state troopers, they have Philadelphia cops that are retired, they have Secret Service agents, they have federal agents that have all retired that are now in this
retired
program.
Here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, also the retirement age is like 40.
40.
Very young. Sure. There's a lot of retired cops that are like sure. in their early 40s.
Yep.
Like,
does anyone have any concern? Joe?
Not a concern. Jennifer, but I think it's important for the board to understand that the discussion that we had at the executive committee is that what can we do to improve security at this school, given that it's a hot topic, probably every school board meeting taking place. They've either dealt with it like Indian River, or they're dealing with it, as you point out, with Kate and some of the others. So this is what everybody else is coming through. How much security is enough? Do we need to have an individual, or do we not? So Lance went through the security of this building, how many doors we have, how easy is it to get in and out of doors, if you're an intruder, how do we stop that? Looked at the security of the classrooms. Can you lock down the classrooms if there's an alert, some alarm goes off that said lockdown? Can a teacher secure her classroom or a student and drop a shade over the glass looking into the classroom so the intruder wouldn't know what was in that room? And then there's the final, which is, these are all things that we are more likely to do this summer to improve security from where it is right now. These are capital expenditures, they're not people expenditures. And the last is, in our vestibule out here, where you come through and there's a square area that isn't used for anything other than people to walk through it or kids waiting for their rides, to put a kiosk there where anybody coming wants to get into the school beyond those doors of that vestibule, they have to put an ID up on into the kiosk, mm-hmm. be identified, tell people why they're there, and they will stay there. If they're only there for a reason for you dropping off a lunch that the child forgot, or you're dropping off a lacrosse fit stick, you won't leave that vestibule. That person won't leave that vestibule. Child will come down and get his lunch or get his cross stick, but nobody can get through there unless there's an active effort by the receptionist or the constable to say they're clear, they need to come in because they're going to a meeting with a teacher. Then they can get into the school. Those things are relatively inexpensive and they give us a lot more security than we have today. Mm-hmm. So
those are some of the things we're looking at.
Yeah, these are some of the things that we think we probably will bring to you and say, here's what it costs. Today we don't know quite what it costs, and here's what we recommend. We don't want to do that until Alan gives us a sense of, do we have the financial resources to do it
correct.
At the end of this year without going into our reserve fund? Our reserve fund is $2 million, so we're in good shape, but that's there for emergencies. This is, really is an emergency. It's to jack up our security from what we have today. Resource officer / constable is on top of all those things. Do we need to go that far or do we not? A lot of the hysteria that's been created by what happened in Connecticut a couple of years ago, what happened in Florida earlier this year, has created an awareness and a concern that you can't stop halfway. Whatever you think you can do to secure your school, should be done. It's too important not to. We don't know about that, so I think what we want to do is hire a constable, look at going out and getting resumes in, seeing if there's a fit, interviewing those people that we think are qualified, seeing if there's a fit with our culture here, and then decide, do we want to do this? So the board will probably make another decision on this, a real decision, to spend money on the 16th of May if we're ready, or sometime in June, depending on what we hear back from the state when we submit the application. So this is information to know where we're going, but the board still has an opportunity to say, I don't think we want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, this is,
I encourage everybody to think about this and talk to your husbands or your wives and your kids. You want a guy in the building that has a gun at his side, is trained, rather than the Trump idea, which is give a gun to every teacher, which is a little silly to most people's way of thinking. But I do think there's something that we should think about. This school is different. It has probably lesser need inside the school with students doing bad things. But you never know who's outside the school who wants to get into the school for whatever reason and do some harm. And that's why the primary duty of a resource officer or of a constable, it may not where he spends all his time, but it's to create a secure environment for our kids and for our teachers. So that's a background I thought you should know, that we're going to do some things and come to you with a dollar amount as to what it's going to cost from deciding what all those things are, with, you know, securing the dot locks on the doors, all that other stuff. And that we will come back to you on too, because you have to approve the expenditure of it unless it's a smaller amount. But the big thing is, do we need a resource officer or a constable in our school? So I encourage us all to do homework on this. If you read the editorials of the local papers, it seems like once a week there's an editorial about what are we doing to secure our schools. So there's a lot of noise about this, and I think it's good that we're tackling it aggressively and making a decision that we all think is the right decision as a board for the school. Period.
And just one other thing to add to that is the application to, if we do decide to do this pilot program and find the person who is a match with us, the good thing is that I think a lot of other school districts over the next year or so are going to adopt this program, and so there's going to be a shortage of constables. So if we do this now and find the right person and make and it works for us, then we're good. Like, if there's hiring 30 or 40 constables throughout the state, then we have to pick of who's out there right now. I think the demand's going to go up, is what I guess I'm getting at.
Any other comments or thoughts or concerns? Or
anything I'll add is just where I am, obviously, we have multiple constables, and you were talking about perceptions earlier, and that's, I think that's very true. The students really can relate to them because I think they see them a little differently. I mean, they wear, you know, khakis and a polo. I mean, obviously you can see their weapon on this,
Talking about a Del Taco.
Yeah, right. So, and they, when they go home, they lock it up and it stays locked and they're signing out, and that's how it works. But they interact with the students. They come over registration area, they'll sit down, talk to people, register, and they're all over the place. And it goes back to your point about managing them and strategically putting them in places. And there's just a lot of freedom about it, and everybody gets to know who they are because they're always buzzing around. And I think the students really like that. And they talk to them and ask, can you walk me to my car at night? And they're always, it's just nice. It's just, so.
Okay, there's a motion on the table and a second.
Would you remind us of what the motion is?
Oh boy, I gotta say it again. The motion was to, can you read it back, Andrea? Do you have it?
What I have is that Susie made a motion for a one-year pilot program for a constable slash SRO, pending funding available.
Okay, stop right there. First of all, the motion is to, the motion is